Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints. And today, we have a special guest who knows and has studied that wisdom very, very deeply. And we're grateful to have him as a professor at the Avila Institute. But before we introduce him, today we're going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit, the intellect, and how what God the Father through St. Catherine of Siena called this holy science impacts our understanding and progress in the interior life, that the Lord does call us to learn as a constant reality so that we can understand him more. And as he revealed through her, when you understand, the more you understand, and of course, this understanding is not the knowledge that puffs up, but it's the kind of knowledge that builds intimacy, which means it increases our love with the Lord. So, Stephanie, why don't you introduce Dr. Pinto?
Dr. Alfonso Lopez Pinto received his doctoral in sacred theology at the Pontifical University of the Holy Cross in Rome, researching the relationship between sacred art and theology. Liturgical and spiritual theology also played an important role in his research, illuminated by the sources of Catholic tradition. After graduation, he taught full-time at Catholic seminaries since 2010. So we welcome to the show Dr. Pinto. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Steph. Thank you, Dan, for having me.
And Dr. Pinto, talk to us a bit about how St. Thomas Aquinas understood the intellect as it relates to, or the necessity of learning the intellect as it relates to the interior life. Why is it so important that we have in our minds an understanding of who we are and who God is and how that whole relationship works?
With regard to Thomas Aquinas and basing that upon the Augustinian tradition, you're looking at our activity as spiritual people based upon the analogy of the charioteer, mm-hmm. or the horseman. So with the horseman, you have the horseman itself, mm-hmm. the horse he's riding on, and the reins that control the horse. Mm-hmm. So especially the horseman represents the intellect. Mm-hmm. The horse itself are the passions, especially the passions of the flesh, mm-hmm. and then the reins, actually connecting the horseman to the passions, is the will.
Okay.
Right? So you have the intellect, the will, and the passions. Now, to make a long story short, by that time, 1,200 years of history of writing about this relationship from the church, from the Gospels through the Church Fathers all the way to Aquinas. What you want is the intellect through the will to control the passions in order for the horse to ride beautifully. Mm. So that the horse does not go all over the place, does not go wild, doesn't stop in its tracks, or doesn't just stop to eat. Mm-hmm. Right? Or sometimes the horse just eats.
right.
And then it can't move, right? So what you want is the intellect, especially the main wisdom that the Church Fathers and the Gospel, and especially the Old Testament, was founded upon is self-knowledge. Mm-hmm. And you even have this in the Greeks when Socrates said that the wise person really knows himself. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the Gospel, the Bible, actually, from Genesis and then fulfilled in the Gospel, shows us that when we come to know ourselves, we come to know ourselves as made in the image and likeness of God.
Right.
So that's higher than even what Aristotle and Plato would have known, because this is part of divine revelation.
Mm-hmm.
So when we come to know ourselves as made in the image and likeness of God, first we know that we're good and that we participate in God's in God's attributes. So we can say that we participate in his, let's say, in his goodness, in his beauty, and in his truth. We reflect him, right? Mm-hmm. So we come to know a law, a natural law unto ourselves. And this natural law is the basis, and especially when we trained our mind to come to know ourselves, this becomes the basis of understanding through the gift of faith, an eternal law, and basically founded upon the incarnation, where the Lord, as Saint Athanasius says, became man so that we may participate in divine life. Hmm. At that moment, then the intellect understands what is true, mm-hmm. like whether how to act, such as the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given to clarify to man what does really God want, even for our own nature, right? And then so because before that there was a lot of confusion as to how to follow God. So the Ten Commandments were given as divine revelation, clarifying things of the natural law and lifting man up to participate in a friendship of love with God himself, which is quite unique in the ancient world.
It's interesting that you said about self-knowledge. Of course, we're Carmelites, so the Teresa of Avila in particular speaks of it and says that until you to your dying day, you can't have enough of it. But this, when we're talking about this self-knowledge, we're not talking about navel gazing or modern psychology in that sense, the way it thinks of it. But it's a Godward exploration, right? So it's in the context of God, and that's what's different from us and the Stoics or the Greek philosophers. Mm-hmm. I think. I mean, you know this better. But why is it important for Catholics to study these truths of God, both, you know, just moral and dogmatic theology, but my favorite, of course, in the Avila Institute's emphasis is spiritual theology. Why does it matter? How does it affect our relationship with God?
Oh, so especially when you quoted St. Catherine of Siena earlier. And if you notice, St. Catherine of Siena she was quite unlearned, right? Even though she came from a wealthy family, she wasn't a scholar or anything. But it was through hearing that she understood, and also through divine grace, mm-hmm. When God enlightened her mind. The entire thing is, and this ties in with the will aspect, is that if we, in coming to know the truth, then the will recognizes as a good to be desired, right? So if we see in ourselves, and this is one of the important reasons for the Avila Institute courses, is that you're exposed to the search for the truth that all these saints and fathers of the church have actually experienced in the past, not only intellectually, but also in their own lives. And really, when we want to come to know God, the best way to do it, yes, there is a way of just studying it, but also if you study it, you study the divine truths or how good the spiritual life is, then you also desire to experiencing it. And that's really a search for God, who is truth, who is love, who is wisdom itself. So you experience God as person.
Yeah, yeah. It reminds me of Teresa of Avila. She was criticized for, you know, writing about what was happening to her, you know, in her spiritual experiences, her prayer, and all of this. And she said, if I don't write this, how will people know what to aspire to? Right? That was that she understood. And that's, to me, what's really beautiful when I look at the courses that you teach or the others at the Avila Institute. It's a learning of who God is, who we are in relation to him, learning about ourselves, and then diving into these truths so that we know what to aspire to pursue.
Right.
You know.
So the intellect is properly ordered to God, and in the John of the Cross sense, it's also purified over time. The memory and the intellect are purified, so that Scripture says, "My ways are not your ways, my mm-hmm. thoughts are not yours." But yeah. It is our calling to make our ways and our thoughts as much ordered to His right. as we can. Of course, ordered by, aided by divine grace. But then, when our intellect is properly ordered, then we choose. We have the right. ability to understand what to choose, the act of the will. And I really loved what you said, Dr. Pinto, about, you know, this beautiful, beautiful union with the horse, if you will, and riding the horse, and the horse will take us to the right, in the right direction, beautifully, instead of wildly and crazily.
Or stopping to eat.
Or stopping to eat, right? But yeah. our culture is yeah. flipped on its head, right? So the passions are what, there's no intellectual development to God. The passions rule everything and define who we are, and disordered passions, yeah. of course, not.
I feel, therefore I am.
Yeah, yeah. So it's nuts. True. So when we get back from the break, Doctor, I want to talk to you about a course that you're teaching, which I think is pretty exciting stuff, Gift of the Holy Spirit and the Divine Indwelling, and our graduate studies program. So we're talking with Dr. Alfonso Pinto, who's a blessed teacher of the Avila Institute. If you want to learn more about the Avila Institute, go to avila-institute.org. That's avila-institute.org. And in fact, for those who are listening today, if the first five people that write us an email, and our producer will put the email up on the screen, I think we'll just give them my email, dan@myavila.com. So the first five people that email me will give you a free course that you can take at the Avila Institute, just so you can experience it yourself and then hopefully tell your friends about it. So we'll be back from the break to talk about the gift of the Holy Spirit and the divine indwelling.
We'll be right back.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father, so there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation. You know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. We're talking about now the gift of the Holy Spirit and the divine indwelling with Dr. Alfonso Pinto. Before we jump back into understanding this holy science, as God the Father called it through St. Catherine of Siena, I want to just extend an offer to our listeners to learn more about the Avila Institute. If you send me an email, the first five people that send me an email, it's dan@myavila.com, and it's Avila like Avila, Spain. A as in Apple, V as in Victor, I-L-A. The first five people that send an email in will give you a free course at the Avila Institute. By the way, you can't be a current student, so don't be trying to cheat on us.
I was about to say, is this new student?
Yeah, if you've never taken a course before, we'll give you a free course. And I'll be teaching Foundations of Prayer and Union with God this year, Discernment of Spirits this year. And so we'll probably give you a free course to one of those or another one. But dan@myavila.com. All right, Dr. Pinto, tell us a bit. Go ahead, Steph. Yeah.
Well, I was going to ask. So we know about the fruits of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, right? So the fruits are Galatians 5, 22, 23, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So how does what are the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how does that relate to the divine indwelling? What are you going to be teaching us in this course? We want to whet the appetite of our listeners.
Okay, so that's a good question. You know, the relationship between the gifts and the fruits. Mm-hmm. So the gifts are wisdom, understanding, counsel, fortitude, knowledge, piety, and fear of the Lord. Okay, so especially in this course, what we're going to do first is establish what sanctifying grace is. Mm-hmm. And then from there, as a habitus, or in English, a habit, but that's not really a good translation. It's more like sanctifying grace is like this principle in us that God gives us, kind of like the way a carpenter relies upon carpentry to make furniture. With sanctifying grace, it's in order for us to participate in divine life, we rely upon the gift of sanctifying grace, which we receive at baptism.
Can I ask you a quick question before you go on? Does that, translated, does that mean in order to know the love of God and experience that relationship, that's what you're talking about, right?
Yes, in order to know the love of God, and especially, and the emphasis is especially on experiencing that relationship, because, you know, biblically, to know is really to experience, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So we, sanctifying grace elevates our nature and deifies us so that we may participate in God's knowledge of himself and God's love of himself.
So wait a minute now, you're going to scare our listeners. You know what I'm talking about, right? You said deify. Are we Mormons? Oh. What are you talking? Do I get my own planet? Or
you get special?
Oh, okay.
So, careful now. That's not very nice.
No, we don't have an earthly utopia or anything, but we participate in basically in God's divine life, and we have, let's say, so we don't become fully God. We don't change our nature. But God shares his divine life in us so that we can understand him and we can love him as he understands and loves himself.
I don't know if you've studied this, but just if it's too abstract, just keep moving on another direction. But the distinction between non-Christian Eastern concept of the relationship between the divine and the creation, which is, there is no distinction, there's right, no distinction. In the whole, the progress of the soul in that reality is to recognize there is no other, and, you know, you and the tree are God, and but you're not separate, you know. But in the Christian concept, the divine and the created, or the creation, remain distinct and separate, even though penetrated, if you will, or filled or imbued with divine life. Can you explain those distinctions a little bit?
Oh, yeah. So especially like when you go to Buddhism or Hinduism, right? Mm-hmm. Especially with regard to Buddhism, you know, this is, of course, this is not like a big tome on it, but it's basically, there's no distinction between anything.
Right.
So there's really no God as a distinct God.
Separate.
Or even a personal God, mm-hmm. and who is different from our nature. So the entire idea is, through asceticism and meditation, realize that we are part of this bigger reality, right? So there's no distinction between us and the reality.
So there's no relationship.
There's no relationship.
Yeah, because if there is no other, then there's no relationship between self and the other. In Catholic theology, we understand God as person. No, he's a different kind of person than we are. But we still share that kind of category of person.
Yes.
So that there is relationship.
In Christianity, especially in chapter 54 of St. Athanasius's On the Incarnation, it says God became man so that man may become God, or be really made partakers of divine life. Mm-hmm. So we keep our own personhood in relation to God, and he elevates us to participate in his personhood, which is three persons in one God, that relationship. And of course, we know we do it through the Son in the Holy Spirit. And this is when the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit come in, which we receive at baptism and then are strengthened at confirmation, is that we start having these gifts: wisdom, fortitude, fear of the Lord, piety, knowledge, understanding, and counsel, to help us in this union with God so that we understand how what he thinks, what he knows of himself, and how he loves himself. And in this also, the seven gifts are there to build up the mystical body of Christ. So as the Lord said, we don't keep this under a bushel. And in fact, if you look at the lives of the saints, each saint specialized in a gift. For example, if the saint specialized in fortitude, another one would be in wisdom, another one would be piety and fear of the Lord. Piety and the fear of the Lord, you get that especially with young saints such as Gemma Galgani and Maria Goretti, especially with her love for chastity, right? And her fortitude to stay along that course. Yesterday in the Byzantine, in the Melkite Church, we celebrated the feast of Saint Theodore the Recruit. So he was a soldier who was a martyr. And especially in early Christianity, soldiers were supposed to swear to the gods or to the state as a god, and many of them refused and were killed, such as martyrs John and Paul in the Roman canon as well. So some saints would specialize in one of these gifts. Wisdom with Padre Pio, which I teach right now. But the fruits of the Holy Spirit, such as joy and all these other fruits, they come from the practice of these gifts. The soul experiences these things as gifts through the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are practiced. And so what happens is the fruits especially draw us to the foundation of these seven gifts, which leads us to the Holy Spirit who dwells in our hearts and we have been given at baptism. And a spiritual maturity has been given to us at confirmation in order to be soldiers of Christ, not only defend him by the Holy Spirit, but also build up the mystical body of Christ.
Yeah, so it's just so beautiful, because as you were saying, you know, as we receive these, we're to use them for the sake of the body. I mean, said another way, our life is not about us. So the Lord gives us these gifts. The fruits come out of the gifts, and then we give them away or we utilize them for the good of the church. And so it builds up the body of Christ. What a beautiful thing.
We don't have a ton of time to dive into this. I agree, by the way. But just one of the most misunderstood aspects of these graces that we receive is fear of the Lord. Tell us a little bit about what is an authentic understanding.
Yeah.
Oh, so this really ties into Teresa of Avila, actually. Mm-hmm. But I guess in all saints, right? You could see this, but especially with her. Fear of the Lord is not so much, let's say, fearing, you know, servile fear, mm-hmm. right? It's more like reverence for the Lord. Actually, a filial reverence for the Lord.
Filial. Like a good, like respect for a good father.
Like
might discipline you, but you don't want to ever disappoint him enough so that would ever occur.
Yeah, it actually ties into us ourselves as adopted sons and daughters of God. Mm-hmm. And that kind of fear is not servile fear, but it's a reverence built upon love, which is the greatest of all the virtues. So especially with Teresa of Avila, you notice in her writings, and she always refers to our Lord as Su Majestad, right? Or
your majesty.
His majesty, his or majesty. Your majesty.
Stephanie's bilingual, so you can do that all you
okay, want. That's awesome. So it's not like, and with Teresa, you could see her fear of the Lord by how beautiful the Encarnacion Convent is. Mm. Like you see just the paintings on the walls, the furniture, even the liturgical vessels that she had, the vestments from around that time period. And then you could see how everything was towards the altar. But then if you look at her cell, there's nothing.
Yes,
there's a mattress of hay.
There's just so the folks know what we're listening, talking about, Dr. Pinto is talking about La Encarnacion, which is the convent where St. Teresa of Avila was first received into. It's just outside of the walls of Avila, Spain now. And then later she became the prioress of, and he's speaking to the how it is that she ordered the convent toward reverence to God, right?
Yes, towards reverence to God.
Okay, Dr. Pinto, I apologize. No, I don't mean to cut you off. I wish we had like 4 hours to talk with you.
Folks can dig in deeper.
Folks can spend hours talking with him. That's right.
They can take the course.
The way we do that is he's teaching a course coming up March 31st is the application deadline of 2026. And it's Gift of the Holy Spirit and the Divine Indwelling. Go out to avila-institute.org to check that out. Many other courses. Now, this is a graduate level course. We also have what we call School of Spiritual Formation, but we're really graduate level courses are require a bit more study and depth, but what you get out of them, because obviously you're putting a lot more into them, is quite extraordinary. So we're grateful, Dr. Pinto, to have you among our professors and for all the good work you're doing in the church. Really, really a blessing to spend this time with you and talk with you. Thank you so much for all the good and for being with us today.
Okay, thank you, Dan and Steph, for providing this opportunity for all of us, not only professors, but also the students of Avila Institute.
Awesome. Well, okay, until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable, at the coming of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.